Well, good morning again, everybody. Let me pray before I bring you the message this morning. Father, we can be thankful for so many things, but right now in this place, let us be thankful that we have the freedom to come and worship you, the freedom to join together in fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ, the freedom to express our faith and our belief in you through prayer, through the sacraments, through song, through sharing friendship and a cup of coffee together. But Lord, so many people do not know those freedoms. Help us to keep them in our hearts and minds and to work for that freedom of expression. Lord, as we come before you to hear from your word and to be taught this morning, may you guide us by your Holy Spirit. May you challenge us, perhaps even stretch us. Continue to teach us how we can keep living for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's a little fella. Gail was talking about a little fella before. Was that the little fella you were mentioning? Marvin the Martian. I grew up with watching the Looney Tunes. Anyone else a Looney Tuner? I love the Looney Tunes cartoons. These modern cartoons, they don't do it for me. But they were fun. They were a whole lot of fun back in the day. But I obviously have, and you've probably figured out, a bit of a play on words. We're used to this whole thing of take me to your leader. But I want to use that to say, well, what about us? Is God asking us to take them to our leader? People may not necessarily be coming up to you saying, hey, show me who your leader is. But if they're not, do we actually have a role to play, a mission, a purpose to show them who our leader is? We live in a world of leaders, don't we? You just flick on the TV and you've got leaders coming at you from all around the world, all sorts of different organisations, good leaders, bad leaders, some downright ugly leaders in terms of the things that they do and say as well. So leadership is very, very important. Leadership in the church is very, very important. How do we lead our churches? And there are so many different ways that we can do that. Scripture Union has been a ministry leader, I suppose, for 150 years now, 152 to be exact, and has touched the lives of millions of young people and families around the world in 120 different countries that SU operates today. But what are we effectively doing to take people to our leader? It's a story that's very, very close to my own heart because, like a lot of kids, I grew up going to church. I grew up in a Christian household in country northern New South Wales. We lived on a farm and went to the local town for church in the what was called the Church of England back then. Now they're just known as the Anglican Church. You know, it's one of those big brick buildings with the stained glass windows, and we had the hymn book and we sang to the organ in the hymn book. A lot of you, I'm sure, would relate to this. And we had the prayer book as well, and the whole thing was written down, the whole service. I knew the whole service off by heart. And yet, in all of that upbringing, I don't feel like anyone ever showed me Jesus. I could look up and see him on a cross in a big stained glass window every Sunday as we approached the altar and put out our hand to receive the wafer and take the cup to take the wine to remember. And I can look back now and think that was a great heritage. It gave me a foundation. And yet it wasn't until someone stepped into my world to take me to their leader that Jesus started to become real. And I like to share that because it's also the start of my Scripture Union journey. Back in 1985, a young assistant priest came to our church and he started a Sunday afternoon youth group. Up until that point in time, I was the rebel child.
I was the one who would get in trouble at school. I was the one who would get sent to the principal's office and get the cane. Who remembers the cane? Anyone brave enough to say they got the cane? Yeah, ouch. Doesn't happen anymore. I was the kid who got slapped in the face for being rude to the girls. I was the kid who got caught shoplifting and the police, you know, sitting there, you know, giving me a talking to while waiting for my parents to show up. I was the naughty kid. And yet, through all of that, God spoke into my world. And how did it happen? Well, Scripture Union actually produced a little booklet called This Man Was Different. And this young assistant minister who came to our church, he just started a casual Sunday afternoon thing. And it was sort of like, well, there's nothing else going on around the place in a Sunday afternoon. And my parents sort of expected me to go, so I went. And we actually sang songs from this book called Scripture in Song. And we sang one this morning, so that was cool. And that was different than just the hymn books that I was used to. But the main thing was this little booklet that takes you on a journey through the Gospel of Mark. Week by week, I can recall it started to show me who Jesus really was. Not just that stained glass window in the sanctuary of the church. Not all the religion and the traditions and the gold candlesticks and the processions and the robes and the prayers that I knew off by heart. I got to see the real Jesus. That young minister took me to his leader. And it wasn't long after that when I got asked to go along to a Christian youth camp and we had an evangelist speak at the camp, and all of that foundation that had been laid that I had been ignoring fell into place. In fact, I think the world I had been existing in as a 16-year-old came crumbling down. And I repented in tears and turned to Jesus as my leader. And so that's where Scripture Union and I began. That's also where Jesus and I began. And that's the most important thing about taking them to our leader. We've had a look at one passage this morning, and we're going to go back to that, but I want to read another passage this morning in Luke chapter 6. And if you want to turn with me or flick to it on your phone or however you're looking at God's Word. Luke chapter 6 from 12 to 19. And I'm going to pull something out of this that maybe seem a little less obvious. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. A powerful moment of Jesus selecting. You know, he's had others following him, but here he is and he's saying, I'm picking you guys in particular. But it's the part that comes next that I want to pay special close attention to this morning. Then Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Powerful moment. But what I want to pay attention to is this that you can see on the screen. He went down with them and stood on a level place. I want us to stop and think about where in our lives are the level places, the level ground. And by that I mean, where are the places in your life, your day-to-day routine, family, work, community, clubs, whatever it is that you're a part of, doing the shopping. Where is the level ground in your world where you are amongst the people? Jesus didn't just stay on the mountainside to pray, did he? He didn't just remain in the synagogues on the Sabbath, where he could teach, where he could preach, pray, and hear the prophecies of God from what they had of the scriptures at that time. Jesus put himself amongst the people. And when you read the Gospels, you see it time and time again. We understand it was important that he went away and had times of rest, times to pray, times to be with the Father. But then we see so many times where amongst the regular people, and for the Jewish culture of the day, a lot of the dirty people, the sinful people, the wrong people, Jesus put himself directly in their world. That is what I want to refer to this morning as the level ground. And I want to challenge us all, how are we, your church, you yourself, how are you coming into the level ground in this world to connect? Because if we don't put ourselves in the level ground, we're never going to connect. I'm an extrovert by nature. It helps because if you're 6'3" with red hair, you stand out. So it's good that I'm an extrovert. You know, and one of the things, when I came to the Lord at 16 years of age, I was excited for Jesus. I just wanted to tell everyone about Jesus. I was, you know, I can remember school teachers and friends at school saying, "What happened to you?" Because it was like an overnight change. And it was an overnight change. I went from that foul-mouthed, swearing every second word kind of kid, getting into fights, to now being respectful, showing good behaviour. I turned into the kid that the principal would actually get to show new students around the school. Total 180-degree change of direction. That's what repentance should be like in our lives. At 17 years old, I was running the youth group in town because, like a lot of country towns, people finish school and leave. We didn't have anyone to run the youth group at that point in time. That young minister had left. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And then there was me talking to a couple other youth groups. We had a Baptist youth group and a Presbyterian youth group in town. And we said, let's get together and let's do an outreach to young people. I took that to my rector, senior pastor, rector, whatever you might call them in the church. And I explained to him what we wanted to do, all excited. And I said, can the church get behind it and support it? I still to this day remember his words. And I'm turning 50 in a few weeks, so it was a while ago. He said, they know where the church is, they can come to us. My heart just sank. But there was something in me that said, this is not right. I want to challenge you to think, the church is not the level ground in our world today. That statement shouldn't shock anyone, should it? With less than 10% of Australians attending church regularly, with less than 4% of those under the age of 25 attending church regularly, ouch, and I think we can understand that that's happening in our society as well, the church is not the level ground in our world anymore. It's out there. It's the sporting clubs that you might be involved with. It's the school events and clubs. It's the RSL. It's wherever it may be that you are connecting with those who don't know the Lord, just as Jesus did. Can we go to the next slide, thanks? Okay, we're going to watch a video. Yep, let it go.
That's not good.
Oh, I don't need this. I'm already late.
Somebody will come. Anybody out there?
Do you have a phone?
No. Sorry. Somebody! Hello! There are two people stuck on an escalator and we need help. Now! Would somebody please do something?
Help!
Help! Help! Help!
I don't believe this. You gotta be kidding me.
I'm gonna cry.
Well, there's not enough left to do. So.
Hey, don't worry about it. I'll fix it in a second.
He said he can fix it. All right. All right. That's more like it.
He says he can fix it.
Look at that video, and we can see the humour in it. It's obviously meant to communicate a point using humour. I want you to look at it at a deeper level. How do we get stuck in doing things the same way all the time? How do we get stuck expecting somebody else to fix the problems, expecting somebody else to do the work? Many of you have seen me before. I've spoken here a couple of times before. And I've been a pastor for over 20 years before stepping into my role with Scripture Union. Before that, I was in youth ministry, have been ever since I was a teenager. And sometimes I think in churches we can fall into the habit of expecting the people that are in the roles, they're paid to do a job, or they've got a title to do a job, and we expect those to be the ones who take them to our leader. But it is something that Jesus gave for every single one of us to do. For Scripture Union, it's a ministry that we take very seriously, and for 150 years, in 120 countries now, touching millions of lives, Scripture Union is working to take them to our leader. We work with the churches, we serve the churches and help churches to take them to their leader. Because we've got some skills, we've got some things that we've done over the years and some experience that we can share, and we can serve and help the church in that way. But we know, don't we, that in Matthew 28:19, that time when Jesus ascended into heaven and he left his followers with those words, "Go into all the world and share the good news. Tell people about who I am. Tell people about God's kingdom and what God has done for them." We know, don't we, that it was a command from Jesus, not just for those guys on the hill, but for every single one of us to take that on board. And the passage this morning that we've already heard from Matthew chapter 9, again, we see Jesus doing that. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues. So Jesus came to church, the church of his day. He was there, he was a part of it. He was teaching and speaking in those places as well, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus went through the towns and villages. He went out there. He was amongst it. He was involved. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Jesus knew the facts. And I know in Scripture Union, we're often trying to say, come and volunteer with SU. Get involved. We've got these things going on. And we struggle for volunteers. I was speaking recently at an event for the Australian Christian Lobby. As most of you have probably heard of the Australian Christian Lobby. And they asked me to come along as someone, I suppose, that they saw as a bit of an expert as doing Christian ministry into schools. And I've been doing that since I was 17. I used to actually use my free periods when I was a Year 12 student to actually go and teach RE in the local primary school. And most unusual thing for most 17-year-olds to be doing. But I've had that passion for ministry into schools forever. And they asked me because there's growing pressure to get religious education or any Christian ministry and activity out of the schools. And people were speaking about it before me. And most of what they were saying was, you know, they're the enemy, you know, and they just want to push us out and they want to get rid of us. And I don't know if you've actually stopped to think about this through. But I've been there, done that for decades now. When I got up to speak, I said, we have nobody to blame for this but ourselves. because I've been the RE coordinator in schools. I've struggled to get volunteers to come into the school and give just an hour a week to teach an RE lesson. I've been there when I've had the school say to me, oh, such and such a teacher hasn't shown up. The teacher's waiting, the kids are all ready, and the teacher just doesn't show up. And that teacher is the local Anglican priest. What message does that send to the school when we can't even supply the volunteers to run the programs? It's our fault because the harvest is plenty, Jesus says. But our workers, we are too few. And so often people may ask, what can I do? How can I be involved? I'm getting too old, or I don't have the skills, or I don't have the time. I just don't connect with this generation these days. There are ways and means if we really are passionate about it. At 23 years of age, I wrote a mission statement for my life, and my mission statement was this: I will do whatever it takes to reach young people for Jesus. That was the conviction on my heart. It's a conviction that goes very, very good, very hand in hand with the mission statement of Scripture Union, which is introducing children, young people and families to Jesus, the Bible and the local church. So I feel like I'm in the right place. It's a good place, but it's a place for all of us in the church to be in. Are you stuck on the escalator? Are you feeling like I'm not really going anywhere? Are you perhaps like those two people, and then even the repairman that joined them later, stuck waiting for somebody else to fix the problem? A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I hooked up the caravan. We've bought a cheap second-hand caravan. This was going to be our first trip away in our caravan. We were going down to Robe for a short escape, 3 nights in Robe. Hooked it up to my Subaru. I've got a turbo diesel, so they're great for towing caravans, so I've been told. Our first experience wasn't so great. We're going up the big hill. If you know what it's like leaving Adelaide and you're going up the expressway, it's pretty steep. And we're going and going and going. And as we're going, we're losing power. And this is not good. And we sort of get to the top and we're going past Stirling. We're thinking, something's not right. Then we're hearing this whooshing, air-sucking kind of sound coming from under the bonnet. This is not good. And thinking, okay, we need to do something about this. There's a Subaru dealership in Mount Barker. So we said, okay, we better pull in there. They were fantastic. They had a look at the car within an hour, and we found out that it's your diesel particulate filter. Who knows what a diesel particulate filter is? There's got to be a few people here. Anyone with diesels that have those things in them? All this stuff they stick in cars is. It's going to be $5,000 to replace it. That's like a third of the value of the car. And we thought, okay, what do we do about this? We could have just given the problem to someone else to fix. But I'm a person who thinks, no, let's look into things, let's research, let's try and do something about ourselves. And through our own research, we ended up finding someone who actually cleans diesel particulate filters for $500. And says, you clean it, it's as good as new. So we limped our car back to Adelaide and got this guy to come out and clean. Instead of $5,000, we paid $500 because you didn't actually have to replace it, you could just clean it. But it was because I took the initiative to do something about it myself, not just, you know, wait for somebody else to fix it for me. Now, in that case, you know, I've saved myself a whole lot of money. That's not a bad thing. But in the case of your church, in the case of the churches of Victor Harbour, of the South Coast here, in the case of God's kingdom, what are you doing to come to the level ground, the places where the people are, and to meet them face to face, to show them who Jesus is? And it is a message of challenge. It is a message of change. It is a message that can make you uncomfortable. But I believe it's God's message. It's God's heart. So this guy on the screen here, Josiah Spires, that's the tall fellow with the cane there and the hat. And he's written in the sand, God is love. He would sit in his church Sunday by Sunday in the 1800s, and he would see these children that just was there to be seen but not heard, as it was the case with children in the day, and he just knew that they were not connecting with what was going on in church. So in 1867, he started a meeting with 15 children in the library of a friend in London, and they started teaching them about God in ways that children could understand. Then 1868, which is what this is a picture of, he was actually holidaying on a beach in Wales. I won't pronounce the name of the beach because the Welsh language is nuts. It's worse than my last name. But he saw these children. He was like, how do I actually show my leader, we could say, to these children? And he just wrote in big letters on the beach, God is love. That wasn't the normal kind of thing that adults did in that day and age. And he attracted the attention of children in doing it. And then he asked the children to go around the beach and find stuff to decorate it. I imagine they would have come back with shells and rocks and seaweed and driftwood. And they decorated God is love. The next day he's down at the beach and children actually came to him sort of like, what are we doing today, mister? That was the beginning of what Scripture Union now call beach missions. And we have one right here in Victor Harbour that I know some of you have actually been supportive of and involved with. We have missions that happen in January at different places around South Australia, and they are reaching hundreds and hundreds of children and many of their families as well. Exciting news is that we're getting ready to launch a brand new mission. We're going inland and having a river mission next January in Manham, because the people in Manham have really, you know, caught a bit of a fire to get to the level ground, to get to where the people are. We're also starting in Manham an after-school club, an after-school kids club, with working with the local school chaplain and with volunteers from the local churches. Because there are people there that are saying, we want to be where the people are. We want to connect with the children and the families. We want to get to the level ground. Scripture Union is a ministry about the level ground, but I believe it's the mission of the whole church. When we shut ourselves into our four walls and all we do is go to church on Sunday and our Bible study on Wednesday and maybe some other church meeting on another day, and that's the extent of our Christian expression, well, Jesus didn't just save his message for the synagogue on the Sabbath, did he? Or when he was on the mountainside praying, or even when he was with his disciples. He went amongst the towns and the villages. He came down from the mountain to a level place where the people could touch him, where he was in amongst it. And that is the challenge for every single one of us. It can be uncomfortable. It can be difficult. And dare I say that it can mean change. And I want to share a personal story as I close this morning. When I was a high school chaplain, and this is back in Queensland, I've been in SA for about 10 years. I was a high school chaplain and the Church of Christ actually approached me to become their associate pastor. And I became the associate pastor of a Church of Christ in Brisbane at the time. And they were very keen to connect with more young people and families. They realised that they had a congregation that was getting older and not really attracting young families, and they wanted to do things to bring them into the life of the church. And a couple of years later, things were going great. We had an after-school kids club that had 50 or 60 kids. We had a Sunday school that was bursting at the seams, and I was struggling to get enough volunteers to help with the teaching. We had a youth group of 100 plus kids coming in on a Friday night. You know, these were all good signs. And we had more and more young families coming to the church. And that means change, does it not? It meant that we had to bring some change to Sunday morning, doing more modern songs, having a band with a guitar and drums. And it was a bit noisier, a bit rowdier. Sometimes those children would run around and not just sit still and stay put. That's what kids are like, isn't it? You know? I'm sure we've got plenty of grandparents in the room. They don't like sitting still, do they? God bless them, they're not meant to sit still. But I remember very clearly sitting at a meeting one night with myself, the senior pastor, and our three elders in the church. And one of those elders, I suppose, was seen as the representative of some of the older people in the church. And he just sat there and he said, "We're not happy with the way things are in church on Sunday." And if you don't start doing things the way we want, there's a group of us that decided we're going to hold back our offerings. Essentially, we're going to blackmail you to do what we want. Now, that may not be something that would happen here. I would hope not. But it's an expression of a willingness not to go to the level ground. If we want to reach a world out there, be they children, be they adults, be they anyone who isn't used to being in church, it's not a culture they're used to. It will mean change. It will mean getting a little bit uncomfortable, and maybe things aren't done necessarily the way that you like. But I believe that it is the way that Jesus would want us to do things, because Jesus wasn't about the status quo. Jesus was about getting the message out to everybody, and anybody could receive Jesus. Amen? Anybody. Even a ratty, rebellious, troublemaking, foul-mouthed 16-year-old teenage boy in country New South Wales could receive Jesus. And there is a lot worse out there in terms of behaviour and attitude in our world today. Wherever you are, whatever you're involved with, how will you go to the level ground and take Jesus with you? That final challenge for all of us today. How will you take them to your leader, Jesus, our Lord and Saviour? I'm going to pray, but I'm going to give you 20 or 30 seconds just to think about an answer to that question. How are you going to take them to your leader? It might be, how do you introduce your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your own kids to the leader? It might be, how do you take the person living next door to your leader? The people that are in your club or group, that your community group that you're a part of. How can you do something, even just something so little, to introduce them to your leader? Stop and have a think, then we'll pray. Lord Jesus, every single one of us who calls ourselves a Christian, who is a follower of Jesus, you have called each one of us to take them to our leader. What that might be, how that might be done, is again different for all of us, Lord. But every single one of us can do something to show them who you are. Something to introduce our Lord and Saviour to them in some way, Lord. Help us in our day-to-day circumstances, the people we connect with, the networks that we have, the families that we are a part of. Help us to be the workers to go out into your harvest, to share and show them who you are, our leader. Amen.